Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Jesus, and exalt you. We praise and glorify you today. Thank you, sweet Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. If you want to turn with me over to the book of Joshua, chapter number 20. And while you're turning there, let me go ahead and set the stage here tonight. God had spoken unto the children of Israel that they were to prepare and to build three cities of refuge when they came into the land that God had promised them. He said that when you succeed in taking this land, then you are to set aside three separate cities in the midst of the land. You're supposed to divide it into three parts. And then he said that they would have to prepare a way in dividing the coast of the land so that the slayer would be able to flee thither to these cities and be able to survive, to live, when the avenger of the blood is chasing him. In the book of Joshua, chapter number 20, we see that the Lord tells them that it is time to do this. The Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake to you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unaware and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand in the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause to the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him in to the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation of the judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city which he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjathbara, which is in Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, and the tribe of Gan, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. And these were the cities appointed for the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee hither and die not by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. And so with the control of Canaan land, and then the process of dividing these lands into their areas, they would begin to appoint the six cities that would be the cities of refuge. These were for the people that had become guilty of an accidental slaying. And during the heat of the moment, whether a relative of the dead person might execute what he thought was justice before the facts of the case came to life, then the slayer would be able to run to the city of refuge to find a place of safety. And the slayer would be granted from the avenger of the blood that refuge until he is tried before the assembly, signifying and showing us that God has a distinct difference between murder and manslaughter. But the person who accidentally killed someone was in grave danger until that they reached that city of refuge. But God, we would see, had ordained a safe place for such an individual. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that these places were divinely appointed. In the book of Numbers, chapter number 35 and verse number 9, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then shall you appoint the cities to be cities of refuge for you, and that the slayer may flee thither which killeth any person unaware. So God spoke that these things were to be so. And as we read in the book of Joshua chapter number 20, he told them that it was time for them to appoint these, that the slayer that killeth any person unaware and unwillingly may flee unto these places. And so these cities represented something more than the combined wisdom of the council of elders. But this was the will of God. They were God ordained and they were God appointed. Amen. Strategically placed. But the Bible also speaks that they were to be easily accessible. Every divinely appointed city of refuge, the Bible teaches us, was to be strategically located so that from any given point within the land of Canaan, one would have the ability to reach one of these three cities easily, being able to get to them very easily. Amen. There was three that was located on the west side of Jordan to serve the 2.5 tribes that settled over there. And then three that were located on the east side of Jordan to serve the rest of the people. And each setting, there would be one city set to the north, one city set to the south, and another city that was set somewhere in the middle of those three. And so if one was in need of the safety of the city of refuge, they would never have far to go, and they would be able to pick which one that they were going to. Deuteronomy chapter number 19 and verse number 3 in our text, amen, the Lord said that thou shalt prepare thee a way. In other words, there were roads that were to be built that would lead unto these cities, making it easy as possible to get to them. These roads were to be carefully maintained each springtime after the rains and after the bad weather of the winter season. There was a time that was set, and I was trying to look it up, and I had lost my source somewhere, amen, in one of my commentaries, but there was a specific time that was set forth. It wasn't necessarily festival, amen, but there was a time that was given, just such as we have spring cleans and such. There was a time that it was everybody's responsibility to go to the road of the city of refuge and to make sure that the path was clear and free of obstacles. Amen. They teach us that every river, that every stream, that every brook was to be bridged, that nothing was to be left undone, that in case of flooding, that the slayer would not have the heartache or the pause at a flooded brook or river, but he would be able to easily cross. For the Lord had purposed, amen, that he wanted this individual to be able to get from point A to the city of refuge as easily as they possibly could, without obstructions. If there were rocks that had ran off during the winter seasons or during the flooding monsoons, they were to work together to push those rocks off and to get the road free, amen, from the debris. If the bridges were washed out, they were supposed to take the time to rebuild these and to invest the sacrifice into these to make them accessible and passable during the flooding of the Jordan River. They were to be open unto all people. Numbers chapter number 35 and 15, the six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unaware, amen, may be able to flee unto one of these cities. There was a wideness that was represented in God's merciful provision. He was not just stating it for his children,
Amen. But there was provision made for the stranger, and there was provision made for the sojourner. None who claimed refuge would be able to be turned away if they so sought after it. And then there was to be, from Jewish sources I find, that there was to be a clearly sign posted at every intersection, at every crossroad along the way. Special signs were to be set up with the word Miklak, which simply means refuge, written in huge letters. And when the roads were being repaired, part of the responsibility was to make sure that the signs were checked to ensure that they were still up and that they were pointing in the right direction and that they were clearly legible. God wanted the guilty one to be able to get to the city of refuge as easy, as unencumbered as possible. Amen. God had a soft spot in his heart. Amen. God had a love and a compassion for this one that had gotten caught up in this accident. Amen. And God wanted to see them make it. God wanted to see them succeed. God wanted to see them last. Amen. God wanted to see them live. And then the Bible teaches us that the gates of the city were to remain open, unlike the gates of the cities of everywhere else, that in the nighttime they would close those gates and in the battle times. But history teaches us that the gate at the city of refuge was to remain open at all times. That if 3 a.m. tragedy would come running, amen, for their life, they would not find a closed gate and be prevented from entering into refuge. Amen. God's mercy provided a place of refuge for the accused. Amen. God's mercy provided openness for anybody that desired to be, amen, to seek refuge. Amen. They were to make sure that it was always accessible. The roads created, maintained, rivers bridged, signs visible, not far in distance, and that the gates would be opened. God wanted the guilty in this situation to succeed. Amen. Let's thank God for that mercy. Amen, amen. As we walk through this life and live in this life, there is an enemy who is after us, that the Bible teaches us that he has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen. The avenger is looking for blood. Amen. He has already been sentenced. He has already been judged. He has already lost. Amen. And so the most deceptive, the most subtle beast of the field is doing what he can to deceive the very elect. And there is, even in the book of Leviticus, there are sacrifices that are made, that are given, amen, for ignorant sin. Amen. Not just thinking to somebody, say, man, how ignorant were you to do that? Amen. It's not really what it means. Amen. But rather it means that I did something that I did not really know at the time was sin. Amen. I just want you to know you're going to be held accountable for that. We don't believe in the lesser light doctrine, which just simply says that if you don't know that it's sin, amen, then you're not going to be held accountable for that. Amen. If that's the case, amen, I want to go work at Walmart and get out of the preaching business, because I'm condemning people the more that I preach. The more that I show people the way and the more that I invest light into people's life, the more that they're going to be held accountable for. Amen. But the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, amen, that they that are without the law are going to perish without the law. And they that have the law are going to be judged by the law. And so it is our duty, our responsibility to find out what is in the law. Praise God. It's not just the preacher's responsibility to give that to you, to explain it to you, even though I want to do my best. But every one of us have got a responsibility, amen, upon us. And in this life that we live, we are going to falter. We are going to be overcome at times. And I think that there is a great divide. There is a great difference, amen, in being overcome by a fault and giving our heart to do evil continually. Amen. Praise God. I can understand when an individual comes humbly and says, you know what, I faltered and I failed and I messed up. But there is a difference in somebody that gives themselves and positions themselves, places themselves, amen, in various opportunistic ways to falter into sin. Amen. I believe that is why that we need to stay as far away from the world as we possibly can. Amen. Praise God. If we walk after the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof. You cannot play around, amen, with the lust of the flesh and not expect to get bitten. Amen. Don't come crying to me when you give your five-year-old a snake to play with and that snake bites your five-year-old. Amen. We've got to be a little bit more conscious, a little bit more smart than all of that. But there is an enemy who is looking to take advantage of you. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelations, amen, that the adversary of our soul stands before the throne day and night. Amen. Accusing us of every little thing. Amen. Every little time you may have had a little awkward look on your face. Amen. He wants to take advantage of it. Every time there's been a little bit of inflection in your voice that sounds like wrath, anger, bitterness, or whatever, he wants to take advantage of it. Every time there's been that glance, that second look, that, amen, that whatever it is, he wants to take advantage of it. There is an enemy of your soul, amen, that has been placed over you to watch you, amen, and to try to take advantage of your weaknesses. That's why you've got to stay close to God. But in this life, we are but flesh, and we are going to make mistakes. Amen. We are not condoning sin. As the book of Romans chapter number 6 says, what shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You got to come out of sin. You got to live right. You got to do right. Praise God. And as the old timer said, it's time to spit right, talk right, walk right. Hallelujah. Don't give the enemy opportunity, amen, to come against you. Praise God. But I am so thankful that even in the midst of these times, in the midst of the moment when we are guilty, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for us, for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter number 1 teaches us, amen, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, amen, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. I'm so thankful for that blood. Amen. I just gone ahead and jumped to the end of the story here. The devil is looking for blood. But thank God that redemption blood was shed at Calvary's cross. Amen. That redemptive blood, amen, flowed down the side of our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. And he paid the price for us once and for all. Let's thank him today. Amen. But like the city of refuge, the place of safety for the sinner is a place that has been provided by and appointed by God. And just as the cities of refuge were the only place of safety for the person fleeing from the avenger of blood, we understand that Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, is the only place of refuge to which sinners can run to for safety from the wrath of God against sin. Amen. Acts 4 and 12, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. But let's just dig into this just a little step further, because we know that it was God's blood. It was the blood of Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, that he shed upon Calvary, that paid the price for our sin. But God, in his authority and divinity, he created a safe place for people like you and me. Praise God. He designed a safe place. He orchestrated a safe place for people like you and I to be able to come to and to seek refuge for it. Praise the Lord. Amen. He told Peter one day, he said, upon this rock, I am going to build my church. We know that that rock was the revelation of Jesus Christ. As he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Amen. And Peter and the rest of the apostles said, well, some say that thou art Jeremias, and some said that thou art Elias or one of the other prophets. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, or you are the Messiah. You are the prophetic one that was prophesied in the Old Testament that was to come. You are the fulfillment of Isaiah 9 and 6. Amen. You are the fulfillment, amen, of the one that said, from out of you, Bethlehem Ephratah, shall come a Savior. Amen. You are that Savior. We understand that. And Jesus said, upon this revelation, the mighty God in Christ Jesus, he said, I am going to build my church. And so he ties redemption, amen, and the blood, and amen, paying the price in with the church of the living God. And he designed that the church would be a safe place, amen, for the guilty to run into and be saved. In the Old Testament, he said that the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous can run into and be saved. Praise God, praise God. Amen. And so we would see that the church was divinely appointed. Not only was Calvary, amen, foreordained from the foundation of the world, but Jesus had an understanding that bound by the limits of time, amen, that it was for a man to live 70 years. He understood that there would have to be something that would provide safety from there on. And so he orchestrated and designed the church. And he told Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell aren't going to be able to invade it. The gates of hell aren't going to be able to come in and do as they want to. The gates of hell are going to be prevented from doing, amen, the death that they want to give. The person that comes running to the church is going to be able to find safety. They're going to be able to find refuge. Amen. God said, that's going to be my plan. I've set it all up, and that is going to be the way that it is. Amen. He orchestrated that it was to be easily accessible. I feel like preaching here today for a little while. Amen. These ways were to be easily accessible. Amen. God made a way for everybody that wanted to come unto him. The invitation was given. He has drawn all men unto him. He said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. He draws men, for no man can come unto him except that his spirit would draw them. Amen. And so God has made a way. God has given the invitation. God has said, if you want to come, there is a place. There is a place of safety that you can come unto, and you can be safe. Amen. It was easily accepted. It was easily accessible unto everybody. Amen. It was strategically located, and there was a way that was prepared for them. Amen. There was, amen, given unto everybody the responsibility. The job was given unto everybody. Wherever you live, you're going to be in the vicinity of the road somewhere, and at a certain time, you have got to go out and you've got to cleanse it. Psalms chapter number 1 and verse number 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. There was a man whose name was John, and John was not that which was prophesied to be, amen, but the one that was to come, that was to make straight the path. What was he doing? He was clearing the path, amen, for one to be able to come. He was kicking out the boulders. He was covering up the potholes. He was rebuilding the bridges. He was making straight the path, because that's the easiest way to get from here to there, is straight there. And God, amen, John said, I want to make it as easy as possible. And there came one coming down that road, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. And as he walked, there would be blood all the way up to Calvary's cross. Amen. That would cover that road, a road that was paved in blood. Amen. That slowed down the avenger, for the price of it was already paid. But let me just state here today, amen, that this road that is to be prepared for the way of sinners, that's up to me. That's up to you. It's up to you and I to keep that path as clear as it can possibly be. Because there's some sinners that are coming down that road that are as guilty as you and I were at one time. But the mercies of God opened up, and the presence of God drew us unto a safe place. And he said, if you can just make it to this place, you're going to be safe. And there's others that are coming down that road. I want that road to be free and to be clear of every obstacle. Don't let my motives be a problem unto the sinner. Don't let my character, don't let my, amen, who that I am, be an issue for the sinners to be able to come and to find a safe place in the house of God. Oh yeah, you and I are human. You and I are flesh. And we are bothered by things. Oh, yes, we are. We're bothered by things. Amen. And if the enemy can come in and stir up strife with inside, amen, it prevents the sinner from getting to an altar before, amen, the avenger of blood reaches them. Amen. That's why Jesus said, if your brother have aught against you, go to him. Amen. And talk to him. And if he won't receive you, then get somebody else and go to him. But somehow or another, somebody needs to make the path straight. Somebody needs to clean it out. Don't let emotions dirty up the path. Don't let feelings dirty up the path. Don't let hard feelings dirty up the path. Amen. Don't let the cares of the day mess up the path. That's why when you and I come in to the house of God at pre-service prayer, amen, we're cleaning the path. We don't know who's going to run down that road and when they're going to run down that road. It could be that an alcoholic comes in on a Wednesday night, but thank God for a church that came in and cleaned the path out of obstacles to make a way so that he can run unto the city, unto the church, a safe place of refuge. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We got to make sure that we bridge the gaps. We got to make sure, amen, that we bridge, amen, these areas that seem to be gapped. Amen. We got to make that effort. I'm going to build on my side and you build on your side. And let's make this thing work. Ho, 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 ho. I just want to ask you today, how would you have felt to come to God if when you came into the church, everybody was squabbling with each other and there were divisions and factions among the church? And Paul said these things ought not to be so, amen, ever named. And I'm thankful for a church that is bound together in unity, amen. But that doesn't happen by osmosis. That happens because I'm trying on my side and you're trying on your side. Amen. We got to forget a lot of things. Why? Because there's somebody that needs Jesus. Hallelujah. If somebody going to a devil's hell does not bother you, you need to come back down to this altar and pray. If you can look at the people in your world and it not affect you, that they're going to be lost forever, you need to come down to the church and you need to pray. God, in His mercy at one time, a man had a straight path and a clean path for you to come to. And now it's up to us. The responsibility is us, amen, to do the same for others. Praise God. Praise God. They're nervous. They're nervous. They come to the house of God. They're nervous. They don't know what they're going to find. But there's something in their life that's driving them, that's causing them to run. In their life, they're looking over their shoulders back and forth. And they don't know when the avenger is going to catch up with them. They're looking. We got to have signs loud and clear. Amen. Refuge this way. Refuge this way. Our lives need to emulate the body of Christ, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our actions and our deeds need to scream about a safe place and a church for others. Our ears need to be sponges to absorb, amen, the people that are speaking out of hurt, amen, and we catch their attention, say, hey, you know what, I know of a safe place. I know of a safe place that you can come. I know of a place that you can come and you can find peace and you can find safety for your soul. Praise God. And here they come into the church and they're looking around and they're so nervous. They need to feel the love, the embrace of the church. Can I pastor here for a little while today? Amen. Amen. When the guest comes into this place, we need to make sure that they are greeted before we get into our little groups and begin to talk about what's going on the rest of the week. They need to feel love. They need to feel welcomed. They don't need to feel, it's not that they feel shunned. It's just simply that they feel like nobody cares. And they come in and they're not greeted and they're not loved and they're not spoken to. And they feel that coldness and they go back out and they continue to look for the safe place. What a shame, what a tragedy that is. Amen. When they come to the house of God, they need to feel the love of the Spirit. They need to feel the love of God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. You know, there's some people that aren't happy unless you're, amen, blowing and going and, amen, and condemning every little thing in life and critiquing every little thing and preaching the clothesline all of the time and such. Amen. I don't really find Christ doing that. There's a lot of things that Jesus dealt with, amen, here and there. But when He was preaching to the multitudes, we find that He caused them to be hungry. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise God. I got a long ways to go, so let me move on here tonight. Praise God. But this is, amen, the responsibility of the church. It was to be easily accessible. Amen. It was to be open unto all. Amen. Whosoever will, let him come. Come unto me, all ye Jews and Gentiles, bond and freed. Amen. There was a place for the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for every individual upon the face of this earth. Amen. And so let me talk about these cities here for just a little bit of time. The first one that we read of in the book of Joshua was a place by the name of Kadesh. And Kadesh simply means a holy place. A holy place. A holy place is the refuge for the unclean. And that is our responsibility. We have to create a holy place for people to come to feel the redemptive power of the Holy Ghost. We're not building a leper colony. The Bible teaches us that Jesus came to save people from their sins, not in their sins. In other words, you don't get saved and continue in your sins. As 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 says, come out from among them and be a separate. He said, and then I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, he went on in the next chapter. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness, the fear of God. Holiness. Holiness. Holiness just simply comes from the word translated. We would spell it in the English way. We would spell it holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, which just simply means complete, entire, entirety. That's what God wants. God wants all of us. God wants our life holy. Now, when he has all of us, then we will take on the nature of God, and God's nature is holy. As he said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God is holy. And so when he has all of us, we take on the nature of God. I'm not going to sit here and try to do this justice tonight in a complete series of holiness, but holiness is going to affect the outside, and it's going to affect the inside. Supposed holiness on the outside with no holiness on the inside is self-righteousness. A supposed holiness on the inside with no holiness on the outside is hypocritical. And so they work in conjunction with one another, the inside and the outside. Praise God. And maybe we will dive into this sometime this year. I don't know if we'll get to it this year, but we'll do whatever God wants us to do. I know what I have planned and stuff, but my plans are always based upon the mind of God, whatever God wants. So if I'm in a 15-part series and I'm on part 6 and God says, okay, that's enough, we'll change up, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to change up. And we'll come visit it back whenever. But there's no way that we can
do holiness justice in one full night, and especially not in just a little bitty part of all of this. But we will come to it at some point in time. But it is the church's responsibility to create a holy place. A holy place. A church that is wholly given unto God. A place, amen, that is sanctified. We talked about sanctification a couple of Sunday mornings ago. Amen. Set aside for a specific purpose. Sanctified. Amen. Praise God. And so that first city was Kadesh, and it was a holy place. And we know that Jesus is holy, and that man by nature is sinful. And we know that at Calvary, Jesus provided the hiding place, a holy place for the sinful man. Amen. But I want you to know that Jesus, that God in his infinite wisdom, orchestrated that one of the places of the parts of safety would be holiness. Holiness is not meant to judge. Holiness is not meant to condemn. Holiness is not meant to beat somebody over the head with. Holiness is meant to be protection. Holiness, amen, is meant to be separation. And holiness is a choice. But holiness is mandated. But you don't have to do it if you don't want to. But then again, you don't have to be saved if you don't want to. But Jesus said, God said, if you want to find safety, you can find it in holiness. And that's the way that we need to look at holiness. There is safety in holiness. Praise God. I could preach for a lifetime here right now. I know that's a little bit overkill, but amen. You understand what I'm saying. Amen. Somebody said there's no such thing as a bad short 20-minute message. This ain't going to be 20 minutes. We'll just try not to make it bad too. I don't understand people. I don't understand the ways of the world. I really, really don't. I don't understand how they can dress in their skimpy attire. And this is going to sound crass, but just hear me out. How can they dress in their skimpy attire, leaving nothing to the imagination, and then gripe and complain and yell injustice, amen, when rape comes along? We're not condoning any of that. But what I'm saying is, amen, basically that the bodies have been solicited to a point. But see, when you live in the ways of holiness and you come out from that, God sanctifies it and God helps it and God ordains it and God blesses it and God anoints it. Well, it's getting quiet in here. Praise God. Amen. But that's why, amen, that we make sure, amen, that we dress holy before the Lord, because we're not prostituting our bodies. Amen. We're not, amen, glorifying the flesh. Amen. We belong to God and to God alone. Amen. And we are safe in this place of holiness. But you see, there is the avenger of blood by the name of fornication. Amen. That wants to run and he wants to chase you. And there is the avenger of adultery that wants to run and wants to chase you. But you can be safe in a place of holiness, in a place sanctified, in a place separated, in a place in the midst of a vulgar world, pulled out and separated. And God said, they're mine, they're mine. You don't get your vengeance at this point. They're separated for a purpose, and they're mine. Praise God. And that's the way that the church has got to be. Shechem was the next one. And Shechem just simply means a shoulder on that which supports or sustains. It is the back.
This is the refuge for the weary. As he said, come unto me, all ye who are weary. We would read that the shepherd, when there was the lost sheep of the 99, that he went and that he found it, and he brought it back to Shechem. In other words, he put it on his shoulder, and he brought it safely back to home. Isaiah 9:6 says that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Amen. It is a place of safety. It is a place of refuge, a place for the weary. And that's what we have got to make this house. It's got to be a holy house, but it's got to be a place of rest. It's got to be a place that the weary can run into and they don't feel like everybody's being cannibalistic. They don't feel, amen, like they're trying to protect their little spot. You see, that's even what sheep do. Amen. When sheep get to the place that there's not a lot of food, they become protective of their little spot, and when somebody else comes around, they get aggressive. Amen. But when the shepherd provides enough food, then everybody can lay down and rest, as Psalms 23 says. And that's why, amen, Jesus said, I'm gonna have a place for the weary. Amen. That they have been ran and they have been ran and they have been ran, and they're weary of life, they're weary of the cares of the world, they're weary, amen, of all of this. But I am providing a safe place, and they'll be able to come into and find rest for their soul. Hebron simply means fellowship. It was a refuge for the homeless. Man with sinful and unregenerate nature is homeless. He is a wanderer. He's a rebel away from God. There is no safety. There is no fellowship. There is no rest. Amen. That is the way of the world. Amen. They feel like they're always protecting their little spot. But God said it's not going to be so in the house of God. We don't need cliques in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We need a safe place. We need a place where everybody loves one another. Amen. Somebody said, how can that happen? Just got to get that old time religion, the song said. Give me that old time religion, because it makes me love everybody. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, I'm going to make somebody a little bit upset here right now. But if you got a problem with somebody, you need to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need to pray until the Holy Ghost overcomes you, because a drunk just loves everybody. I said a drunk loves everybody. He wants to hug everybody. He wants to love on everybody. That's what you need. You need another dose of the Holy Ghost. You need to pray until you can love everybody and have fellowship one with another. Oh, yes, let's give God praise today. Bezer means restraint or enclosing, as in a wall. This was the place for the helpless. A look at the manslayer shows that he had no self-protection. His only hope is to flee to that stronghold. In other words, the people that come in, they are going to feel absolutely helpless. You see how all of these tie in together. But they're going to feel helpless. They need a church to support them. They need a church, amen, that'll be a wall unto them. Amen. Just like that little baby elephant, amen, that's just a few hours or maybe a few days old in the world. And he's just happy about everything until the lion shows up. And then that lion begins to look at him and begins to prey upon him. Begins to look until mama shows up. Mama has a way of stepping in front of that baby and pushing that baby back. And here comes everybody else. And all the big guys are sitting there and they're staring down that lion. Amen. Your adversary as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But this is a safe place. We don't give up on babies easy. I said, we don't give up on babies easy. Amen, amen, amen. And when they come to the house of God, they need to be able to find rest. But they need to be able to find refuge. They need to be able to find protection. Amen. They need to be able to find, amen, the healing balm of Gilead in the church. They need to be able to find the love, amen, of the church body. Amen. As we protect them and as we help them to be able to grow. Amen. Because this is the way that God designed the city of refuge. The name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous can run into and be safe. This is a place that we and the sinner and the stranger and the sojourner ought to be able to run into and find, amen, this enclosing, this restraint. Oh, hallelujah. There's a lot of people that want to say, oh, you live a life of bondage. I don't live a life of bondage. I can leave the city whenever I get good and ready to, but I know that danger is on the outside. I know, amen, that the avenger of blood is waiting on the outside to slip a dagger under my rib and to kill me and to take my life.
Ramoth means exalted. It is a refuge for the hopeless. I'm getting ready to close. For the manslayer to remain within the reach of the avenger was hopeless doom. But Ramoth was a place that was set aside and pulled aside. Golan means separated. Exile from former life, pass away. It was a refuge for the tempted. Amen, that those that are tempted are able to run to the safe place and find safety. Jesus is not looking for good people, man, to mix and to mingle, but he's looking for separators. Come out from among the world and be a separate. Why? There's danger. There's danger. There's danger. This is the last city that was given. In the last days, this is becoming the hardest thing to do, to separate from the flesh, from the world, all of these things. And so the church is supposed to be holy, a place for the rest for the weary, fellowship for the homeless, strong. I'm not talking about the street homeless. I believe that we need to help them if we can and do what we can, but we need to understand, you understand what I'm talking about. Some of them are panhandlers and some of them live in better homes than you and I live in. I'm talking spiritually. Fellowship for the homeless, stronghold for the helpless. He's been exalted for the hopeless, separated for the tempted. But he said it's for whosoever will. Whosoever will. I've been praying, seeking God, asking God for revival. A few weeks ago, I sat there at the front door and talked to Brother Wirths. And we both agreed upon something. I feel like at some point in time, God is going to open the door and give us a great revival in the backsliders. Amen. But you see, there are so many backsliders that are out there in this area, Butler County, Sedgwick County, backsliders from all over the place. And they're being ran, weary, running from the avenger of blood. And they're looking for a safe place. They don't know where a safe place is. Brother Wirths and I were talking. I said, I believe it's only going to take just a few of them to come. And when they come, they're going to find that this is a safe place. And they're going to let everybody else know, I found a safe place. I found a hiding place. I found a place that I can come to and find refuge for my soul. And there are sinners that are out there that are looking and they don't know the way. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. But as the Jews would place signs upon the road, Malak, refuge this way. The sign that the church posts all over the world is the message. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord, to all that are afar off. There's a safe place. There's a safe place. As many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse number 40 said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself. Save yourself. It's so hard for me to come grab your hand and to run you down the road when you're not sure if you want to go to a safe place or not. I can scream, I can yell, I can holler and tell you, you need to get to the safe place. You need to get to a safe place. But until you get that revelation, I'm just going to be dragging you along while the end avenger of blood gets closer and closer. Because there is a day of reckoning that is coming. There's a day of reckoning that is coming. But how much easier is it for those that can see the sign and say, that's where I need to go. Take me back to the church. Take me back to the church. Some are going to come running back to the church. They're going to think to themselves, this doesn't even resemble what it used to when I left. Let's hold the standard high and let it be known. And let's let God know we want to be a safe place for the sojourner, for the stranger, and for his children. How do we do that? Clearing the way. Clearing the path. Searching my heart, searching my life. God, I don't want to stand in the way of sinners. I don't want to be an obstacle that sinners have got to get around, over, through, to get down to an altar. I don't want the garbage of my life to clutter up the road so that people can't make it to an altar. And so what we do is we show God that we're serious about this. We find that place of prayer and we clean the road out. We push the obstacles off of the road and we make sure that the sign is still up and the sign is still pointed in the right direction. We make sure that the bridges are still passable. We make sure that everything is there. There's an old Jewish fable that talks about the mothers of Zion, the mothers of, that the mothers would get out there and work diligently to clean because they wanted to be sure that if it was their baby running to safety, that they would have an uninhibited path. Let the church, the mother of us all, come together collectively as a body and clear the path for whosoever will. They walk in here, and if everybody says, whoa, ho, 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 that's the biggest drug addict in Augusta, it's good. The path is clear. They got a big testimony coming along. No matter who it is, no matter who it is, they've got a path to an altar, unobstructed, by just simple things of life. Let's stand. A city of refuge, a safe place. A safe place. The gates were to remain open all the time. I'm just simply saying that until the rapture takes place, we're interested in seeing people saved. Yeah. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I want to see people saved. It's got to be my heartbeat. It's got to be my passion. I can't get to this place that, well, my family is in church and so I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. I've been praying that God would give me such a love for the lost that I would never be able to look upon anybody the same. That when I look at the sea of humanity that I see every day, they've got an eternity that lays ahead of them. Can I do something to clear the way for them? Can I do something that would better help them to get down the road of life to the safe place? Can I encourage them, put the sign up and say, hey, the church is that way? I'm not talking about a physical building. I'm talking about collectively the body of Christ and be able to, we are the body of Christ. We are the church. You know what? I got a safe place for you. I know where you need to go. You need to come to church with me. You need to come to church with me. When you see people at work, does their eternity not bother you?
Yeah.
Just saying that in this world that we live in, it's so easy just to be narrow-minded and just see and just... Jesus said that we should receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us to be witnesses. That's what it's all about. God saved me. I want to find somebody else and reach somebody else. Brother Deontay, I just want you to know that I find myself oftentimes praying for your mom, praying for your sister. They're not here yet, but we're creating a safe place.
Yes.
Keeping the road clear. Keeping the road clear. All the backsliders that I know of, I find myself praying for them and I don't even know them. Some of them I do know. I find myself praying for them. Clearing a path. Clearing a path. The people that I know and that you know, they got a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. That needs to bother me. That needs to bother you. We need to clear a path. Make straight the path. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Creating a path. that they can come to a safe place, feel love, feel hope, feel holiness, protection, security from the church. Amen. These altars are open here tonight. Why don't you come talk to the Lord about it? Why don't you come talk to the Lord about it?